What I'm going to talk about today is a realist evaluation of a specialist peer mentor program for university students on the autism spectrum. But before I begin, I want to dedicate my presentation to the memory of Sylvia Roger, who recently passed away after a long battle with illness. Sylvia was an occupational therapist, a researcher, an educator, and the Director of Education and Research at the Autism CRC. Sylvia was an inspiration to all. She was passionate and dedicated to her work and a fierce advocate for those on the autism spectrum. Without Sylvia, I'm not sure the Autism CRC would be here, and as a consequence, there'd be a lot of research in Australia that actually wouldn't be happening. Now, in Sylvia's own words, she saw the Autism CRC as an opportunity to make a tangible difference in the lives of individuals with autism and their families. So today I pay tribute to Sylvia through sharing this presentation with you. Now, throughout my presentation, I've got a series of illustrative quotes from the participants. I'm not going to read those to you, but that hopefully will give you an idea of the voices and the voices of the actual participants themselves. So university can be a lonely place, and that is what some of the students on the autism spectrum have told us. So even though they might be intelligent and able, they still find university difficult, lonely, and not completing their courses. This is troubling because the profile of autism in the community is changing, aging, and developing. There are an unprecedented number of individuals diagnosed on the autism spectrum transitioning to adulthood. For example, in Australia alone, it's estimated that 75% of the people diagnosed with autism are aged 19 years or younger. And the well-documented poor outcomes for adults on the autism spectrum continue in the areas of employment, independent living, developing relationships, and further education. Now, further education is important because it's been widely recognised as a strategy to improve outcomes and social mobility for anyone from a disadvantaged background. And there has been evidence that it can help improve outcomes for adults on the autism spectrum. And actually, just the other day, there was a talk describing how education in adults for people in all the adults on the autism spectrum actually improves well-being as well. So while we're seeing a gradual increase in the completion rates of secondary education, one might assume that that might translate to further education into adult life. But unfortunately, it's not. So as there are more students on the autism spectrum actually getting to university, there is a need to explore how the students on the autism spectrum can best manage the university environments to succeed and complete the university studies. Peer mentoring is one option, one treatment option has certainly shown some promise. However, while peer mentoring is not a new concept, it's been broadly recognised as being useful in a wide variety of areas. It is a very poorly defined concept, with a recent review by Crispin Cruz finding over 50 definitions of what peer mentoring is. So to hopefully help us move forward from that, Nora and Crisp suggested a framework for peer mentoring that included psychological support, goal setting, academic support, and the existence of a role model. Now, I'd like to introduce you to our specialist peer mentor program through the voices of the actual people in the program, the mentors and the mentees. So if I can get the video to work.
The Curtin Mentoring Program is basically a social gathering for people who have autism or on the autistic spectrum.
I went to a really small school and a class of eight people. And so going into such a massive school, massive university, it was very difficult. It was a massive change.
In the first year of uni, I didn't have anything or anybody. I didn't have any friends, and socialising with this many people on a pretty relatively small space was fairly hard.
So I wanted to become a Curtin specialist mentor because I have an uncle who's got Asperger's, and I really saw that he struggled.
I've always wanted to be a mentor, and this was a great program for that. At the same time, it allowed me to learn a bit more about the autism spectrum and also people on the autism spectrum.
I thought that I really wanted to be involved in it because I think that everyone has a right to education and a right to not have like a blanket way of learning.
I know, like, for a person with Asperger's, if you're on your own and it's your first day of uni, it is really, really, really daunting. And as soon as you meet someone, it just gets so much better.
My main concern of university has been not making any friends throughout my studies. My specialist mentor helps out with this by assigning me small social tasks to do each week that help really build up my confidence and help make new friends.
It's great to be able to just catch up and have a coffee and talk about what is going on in life in general. It's been a great support to know that someone's there.
For actual people, it's actually hard to understand why we're so stilted. And we're not actually that stilted, it's just them who are being stilted against us.
I think I had a really one-dimensional view of autism, and I really didn't understand that people with autism have these like incredible, incredible strengths.
I've learnt that everyone is different. I've learnt that things I may take for granted may be quite hard for people with the autism spectrum condition.
I hope to one day make an important invention or discovery in the field of mathematics, science or engineering that will have a positive impact on the world.
Well, I've gained professional skills which I can take into my career. I've been able to develop communication skills, leadership skills and also oral presentation skills, which are highly beneficial for me.
I get to be normal in a room full of people who are trying to understand me. It's great.
To give you a little bit of context, Curtin University is a large university. We have 60,000 students and about 6,000 staff. So the environment can certainly be quite challenging. The peer mentoring model that we run has three parts. But I'll just give you a little bit of idea how it's developed over the years. It started in 2014. It was developed by Dr. Jasmine McDonald and Teresa Kidd with some support from the Autism West. They started in 2014 with five students. When we did this evaluation in 2016, they had over 30 students on the autism spectrum involved in the program. It's continued to grow, and today we have 66 students on the autism spectrum involved in the peer mentoring program. And one of the great positives of this, actually, I think, is the program's now been manualised with assistance from the Autism CRC, and the manuals are freely available via the internet. I'll give you the links to that at the end of the presentation. There are three parts to the program. The first is mentor support, where the mentors receive training, supervision and ongoing support from the program coordinators. And the second component is the peer mentoring itself, where the program coordinators screen the participants as they come in, the actual students on the spectrum, and they link them to an appropriate mentor. They then go and work on individual goals, offer supports, and provide a role model. Also, the third part is our social group. Now, the social group is run by the mentors and the mentees. It provides an opportunity for the students on the autism spectrum to practice social skills, to socialise together, and also just to do some of the things they enjoy. You would have seen in that video playing various board games. But they also use that as an opportunity to explore some topics that they're interested in, such as dating and how to find a job, etc. So the aim of this study was to identify the context, mechanisms and outcomes and the relationships between these components of a specialist peer mentor program for university students on the autism spectrum. So we're really interested in the nuts and bolts, what's actually making this work. We conducted 46 interviews. 42 of them were a matched mentor-mentee dyad. The gender balance was, you know, virtually a mirror image of each other. Now, the mentors, you'll notice, have on average four years older than the mentees, and that's because all the mentors are postgraduate students in either psychology, occupational therapy, or speech pathology or speech therapy. Now, the realist evaluation. The reason why we did this was so that we could, so that we could have a very holistic view of the program. Now, the realist evaluation sees a program as a living, breathing theory that occurs within a particular environment or context. And these contexts either necessitate the program or support the program. And they, depending on what contexts are there, will actually change what mechanisms you need to have in place. And the mechanisms are anything that goes on within the program, but, you know, acting on the participants or the, and the outcomes is anything that was intended or unintended as a result. So we transcribed all of our interviews verbatim and analyzed them using in vivo. We basically went through the data repeatedly to try to find all of the statements that referred to the context, the mechanisms and the outcomes, and then did a thematic analysis within them. So I'm going to go through each one in turn. So the first was the actual context. Now, the contexts that necessitated and supported the program were reasonably varied. They started with the university course demands, which were obviously very new to the participants because having to work with, in a lot of cases, in groups and attend lectures and hand in different assignments at different times. Their environmental conditions of the university, as I said, there's 60,000 students. It's going to be a very busy, loud place. And then there were individual differences that came out, and including some of the aspects around families as well, such as their family environment. And the final context was associated with the university services that were available. When discussing the mechanisms, the participants talked about the structured program, including the importance of the social group, the mentor support and supervision. But it became really quite interesting when the participants started talking about how important the actual mentor themselves were. And the mentors described the process of really just developing rapport and relationship with their mentee, the person they were working with. I would even say they were using therapeutic use of self in this process. Another aspect which was seen was the use of the program as a support, with one mentee describing it as a safety net. Problem solving was probably had the largest volume of different types of mechanisms, going into things like environmental challenges and changes that they might need to make, looking around executive functioning such as planning and prioritising their studies, and in some cases even just making sure they handed it in, social communication problems and stress management. The final part, which perhaps the most important, was actually the aspect around working on the social interactions and actually working together to develop social skills. And again, you heard it in the video from Cameron saying that his mentor would be giving him tasks and activities to do each week to try to help develop his social skills. And a lot of the mentees would also would discuss different strategies to practice in the safe environment of the social group. In terms of the outcomes, well, as I said, the program, you know, just looking at the numbers of the growth, we've said there's been some positive outcomes. But 1 year since completing these interviews, we went back and contacted the mentees. And of the 23 who participated, 2 have graduated, 19 are continuing to study, and 2 never returned our phone calls or emails. So I couldn't quite confirm whether they were enrolled or not. So it certainly has some positive outcomes with the people on the autism spectrum actually achieving their goals, gradually becoming less reliant on their mentors as the program continued, being able to identify their own strengths as the program continued as well. The mentors, saw this as an extremely positive experience, even though it was well above and beyond their studies, studying their postgraduate degrees as well and trying to do this. But they saw this as a great opportunity to learn some skills and actually develop themselves for the future. But I think perhaps the most valuable outcome of all is the relationships. Going through the transcripts, it was really quite obvious the the depth of relationship that people, the mentors and mentees, actually did form. You wouldn't necessarily say they were always friendships, but they certainly had very close partnerships and working relationships. But also, it wasn't just the relationships with the mentors. The students were able to extrapolate this and develop better relationship with their peers and their students, the other students they were at university with. So to conclude, you might remember earlier on I was saying Nora and Crisp proposed a framework for peer mentoring that included psychological support, goal setting, academic support, and the provision of a role model. But it appears when mentoring students on the autism spectrum that communication is the subject that's important, not their academic subjects. As we were analysing these results, it became really apparent to us that one of the really major processes that was going on was the development of relationships. The development of relationships between the mentor and the mentee. And as I said, the mentors were using therapeutic use of self, where they were deliberately using their own experiences and their own personalities to model how they actually succeeded at university. And the students were on the autism spectrum are picking up on this and developing self-efficacy and mastery as a result. So I'd say that specialist peer mentoring can certainly support students on the autism spectrum at university. And as I mentioned before, I promised I'd give you the link. So this is the link on the Autism CRC's website where you can freely download the manuals. There's also the training programs up there. So there's a whole heap of information so anyone can freely use this as well. I do have a lot of people to thank. I want to thank all the mentors and mentees who participated in the program. I've got to thank Jemima, who gave us her artwork of the peer mentoring, and it's also in the manuals. Obviously, the people who developed the program, Dr. Jasmine McDonald and Teresa Kidd, the Autism CRC for supporting me and the program. And I've special thanks to Kyra Evans, who unfortunately isn't here, but has helped me conduct a lot of these interviews. And one final, I'd like to thank my PhD supervisors, Sonia Girdler, Sven Boltend, and Torbjörn Falkmer. So, thank you.
Thank you. That was really interesting and important work. I'm intrigued by your use of the word peer. Because these don't seem like peers to me. They're not autistic. They're not undergraduates. They're professionals in training. So I'm wondering, A, kind of how you think of peer in this context, and B, if you've thought of developing any component where autistic students may in their later years serve as peers themselves.
Very interesting question. Maybe I'll take the second part first, actually. One of those people who graduated is wanting to come back and be a mentor. In terms of peers, I guess we're thinking about in terms of peers in terms of their, well, closer to the age than their parents, as it were, but also peers in university students. If they were matched with, I know speaking to the program coordinators, there are some people at the moment that are matched with people who are a little bit closer to the age, and it's turning into more of a tutor relationship as opposed to a supportive relationship trying to develop the communication skills. So maybe we need to tweak the term peer mentoring.
I just wanted to, from the social worker point of view, suggest that the concept of mentor-mentee puts the power and control in one person's hands, and so what I wanted to just tell you is at Marshall University, they've flipped the script. They've made the autistics the experts, and they go into the peer groups and teach the fraternities and the sororities how to be better collaborators with autistic students. So it's kind of a reverse model of this. I think it takes both, but that's just where they happen to be right now. And they're also doing training using the autistic students to talk about their barriers to train administration at school. So they just did financial aid you know, and said, well, I know you're not supposed to talk to my mom, but it really doesn't help me when you won't talk to my parents, and it's a real problem. So just getting that autistic perspective back flipped, reversed the other way, has really expanded the participation of the students. They've been invited to pledge fraternities, and sort, I don't know if that's a good thing, but, you know, they're getting opportunities that are more naturalistic, I guess. So just an idea.
Yeah. I guess on that, the students, they very much do try to work on to minimize that power difference as much as possible, but there still always is one. And we, in the interviews, that certainly from some of the students on the spectrum, certainly obvious that actually one bit that is missing is some way of educating the, you know, the lecturers, et cetera, and tutors, so that they actually better know how to manage and work with people. So yeah, it's something on the horizon. Thank you.
Thank you for your really helpful and informative talk. Really quick question. I know we need to move on. I noticed that the majority of your mentors were male. I mean, pardon me, female.
Yes.
And the majority of your mentees were male. I was just wondering if you came across, or what sort of implications that had for challenges and strengths, particularly around the dating realm, if that came up. I know this is quite common where you do have the opposite, which has strengths and challenges.
As part of the training, in terms of from the that the mentors get, is they get a lot of, I guess, support around making sure they've got very, clear boundaries about what they're supposed to do and not. So in a way, one of the things they're actually not supposed to do is they're almost told not to become friends, which is interesting in terms of the results. But it only once that it's, we've actually had the problem of one of the mentors thought that it was a romantic relationship. So it hasn't happened very often, but it's certainly something we need to be very aware of, because it's very easy for that to get misconstrued. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.